I want you to know something right off the bat about your pastor. You may not know this, and I told him I was going to tell you this, because you always see him maybe in a sport coat or a long sleeve shirt. The man has guns. He does. I touched his triceps yesterday, he's got guns. And then we were in his truck, and he was kind of reaching for something, and his bicep just flashed. Boom! So you may not know that about your pastor, but I needed you to know that right off the bat. Come on, somebody encourage the pastors. I hope you don't mind. They're kind enough, gracious enough to let me be down here on the floor with you, because that's how I minister at home. Everybody does their thing. I don't like being on the stage. I like being down with you. And so even though the pulpit's way over here, I'm going to keep just kind of coming up closer to you. I like to where I preach and I kind of spit on you a little bit. How many, if you're in the front row, I hope you brought your umbrella. They're used to that. They're used to that. Let me talk to you about your pastors for a moment. As a fellow pastor, I'm real big on this. You know, we've met your pastors a couple of years ago, and we really bonded over, this is going to surprise you, we bonded over sharks. That's true. You know, your pastor a long time ago used to fish a lot before he met the Lord, and I still fish a lot even after I met the Lord. Yeah, we're both fishers of men. We have that in common. And I love to catch shark. That's my hobby. I'll kayak right off the beach, and I'll fish for shark. And I've caught, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 foot. I caught a 12-foot bull shark just last week. And that's what we bonded over, sharks. I'd like to tell you something more spiritual than that, but I can't. It's over sharks. Now, what really means something to me, because they don't know this, and you don't know this, but I am a student of people. I watch people. I've been in ministry 42 years, so I've been around a long time. Know a lot of pastors. I'm a pastor to a lot of pastors. So I watch people. And I watch how pastors treat people that can't help them. Because I remember many years ago, we were at a place, I won't mention the person's name, we were at a place, I'll just call him Brother Big. I was with Brother Big. And we were at a restaurant together, and I watched Brother Big just bark at everybody. We were at a buffet. He was barking at everybody, treated everybody very rudely. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have no time for that. What you're meeting right now, what you meet every weekend with your pastor, you're meeting our gifts. This is my gift. But what really matters is how I treat people that can't help me. What really matters is how I treat my wife when you're not looking, because that's my character. And I watched this couple last night, because I'm a big people observer. I watched how they treat the waitress. They treated her so graciously and so kindly, and to me, that makes all the difference in the world. You can have the biggest ministry in the world, which this Brother Big did, but if you don't treat people right, I don't know what you're doing. How many know a man or woman's character is more important than our gift? And I thank God for people like this. Listen, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, the Bible says that we should respect those that have rule over us. Watch this now. For their work's sake. So here we are driving from Nashville. And we took, you know, 2 days to get here. And we get closer here. We've cornfield, 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 cornfield. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, beautiful Cornerstone Church. Where'd that come from? I mean, Cornfield, and then Cornerstone Church. Now, this is a wonderful work of God. You realize it? And I watched all of you ushers. Can we give all of our ushers a big encouragement? All of the ushers everywhere serving the people. I love this. I just love this. So I'm honored to be here. This is my lovely bride, Ann. Can you wave at everybody, sweetheart? Just wave at her. I was telling your pastor's wife, who we just love. We've fallen in love with. He said, we had a wonderful dinner last night. Well, the reason we love them, because they paid for it. can you all tell I'm a pastor? I'm a pastor. I love people. Don't you tell anybody, but I love people, so I just like getting real close. We just had the best time with them. This young lady right here, we've been married 36 years, and this is not preacher talk. Now, nothing like Doug. Doug and Pam been married 48 years. Your pastor's 42 years? 42 years. So we're lightweights. Well, 36 years I've been married to this young lady, and this is not preacher talk. If I had one day off and only one person to spend it with, I spend it with her. She's my best friend in the world. My best friend in the world. We've been through thick and thin together. She just touches my heart. And I'm gonna tell you right now, it just blesses me. And if you see her, she's real, real pretty. And how many know I have a radio face? How many know what a radio face is? We just met somebody that said, "Hey, I've been watching you online." I said, "I'm so sorry. I look worse in public than I do online." It's the truth. So a lot of people ask, how'd you get her? Because she's so pretty. You know, and I'm not. And I tell everybody, I'm a phenomenal kisser. Are you encouraged about that today? So I see a lot. How many of you are a single man? Come on. How many of you are an ugly single man? Come on, lift your hand. Now, there ought to be a lot more lifting your hand than lifting your hand right there. I'm looking at you. If you're an ugly single man like I was, just learn how to kiss. But practice on the mirror. Not on people. Are you ready to go today? After all that, you ready? I'm so excited about what I'm going to share with you. We always talk to God about it. I really feel like this is the Lord. We have a little bit of sense of humor. I'm the pastor of Joy Church. How many know sometimes a sense of humor is the shortest distance between any two people? Breaks down walls. And listen to me. If you're a believer, you ought to smile. Your heart ought to notify your face that you're saved. I mean, at the worst, we're going to heaven. How bad can it be? We're talking a little bit about this now. 42 years of ministry, but 45 years ago, I was an alcoholic checking IDs at a bar. So you look at this, and you got the fancy suit and the hanky and the shirt that won't stay up. And that bothers my wife the whole time I'm preaching. And we have a very large ministry. We have literally 69 countries that watch us online regularly. And we're blessed of God. And everybody, you know, so many people want the harvest, but you have no idea about the seeds that this man has sown. I used to wake up in my own vomit. I should be dead or in jail. How many know that's not a good day? So if you anything good you see in this guy, it's because of the Lord. And I hope maybe now you can relate just a little bit better to me, because I've been where you are, plus worse, and the Lord has delivered me out of it all. So I will not point my finger of judgment at you. I will simply point my hand of blessing upon you, just like God did with me all those years ago. So glad to be here. So glad not to be going to hell. Although I was walking out yesterday when I got here in 95 degree heat, and I wasn't sure if I was in hell. But I want you to know that right off the bat, because I'm just a grateful man. So let's talk about it. I'm going to talk to you today about regaining your wow. Everybody say wow. Wow. Would you say it backwards, please? Wow. Now, will you say it upside down? Wow. No, Mom. So anyway, you say wow, frontwards, backwards, or upside down. I mean, it's good. This is the pastor's wife, Mama, right here. 85 years young, you do not look it. You do not look it. Everybody say, wow. Wow. And now say, Mom. So I'm going to talk to you about regaining your wow. I heard this story, Pastor Chris, this is decades ago, and it marked my thinking ever since. And it really has touched me to no end. And it's sort of a very famous evangelist. I won't mention his name. He's traveling and you know, on another airplane, over and over and over, just going everywhere and all the time. And you know how that goes. After a while, it gets a little bit old. You want to be home and so forth. And he wasn't doing it out loud, but he was kind of internally complaining a little bit. Oh, man, I'm on another plane. I got to go to another place. I want to sleep in my own bed. All of this just internally. All of a sudden, he was the first one on the plane. All of a sudden, here comes a dad and a young boy on this plane. Maybe the boy was about 6 years old. And all of a sudden, this is his very first plane ride, and he gets on that plane, and now it's just this evangelist and the dad and the little boy, and the little boy looks around the plane and goes, wow, first plane. And then he looked to his daddy. He said, Daddy, can I run down to the end of the plane and back? And the daddy looked to the stewardess, and the stewardess kind of gave him a knowing, yeah, go ahead. And the boy was running down, and wow, and he looked out the window, and wow, and he went all the way back to the back, and wow, and then he ran all the way back to the front, and wow, and he was just having the best time of his life, and all of a sudden that evangelist recognized he lost his wow. So if you're here today at Cornerstone Church, wherever you are, if you've lost a little bit of your wow, I'm here to help you get it back. Let's talk about it. Let's jump into it, because we've all been through seasons like that. I can see heads shaking already. Well, we need this, and that's okay. Nothing shameful at all in that. I'm going to give you five foes or enemies. I think Pastor talked about enemies of faith last weekend, so this will flow really well. These are five foes of your wow. We got to recognize these foes of our wow first and foremost so that we can eradicate them, eliminate them, and then we can get our wow back. I'm going to tell you some friends of wow in a moment, but we're going to start with the first foe. So number one, and this is the biggest one in my opinion, familiarity. Familiarity. We get familiar with things. Now, I'm just going to quote these verses. I loved how your pastor was quoting from Ephesians chapter 1 earlier, a moment ago. And I loved how they flowed in tongues and interpretation. That was beautiful. And I want you to know, Mark chapter 6, you remember the verses in verses 1 through 6? Here comes Jesus, and the Bible says in verse 1 that he came from thence, and he went now into his own country and brought his disciples. And the Bible says in Mark 6 and verse 2, the Bible says on the Sabbath day, he went in to teach in the synagogue. And then all of a sudden in verse 3, they started looking at him. And they're like, hey who, I know you. I know your dad. You're the carpenter's son. Where did you get this wisdom? Who do you think you are? What's the deal with you laying hands on everybody? I know your brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judah. You've got sisters. I went to Nazareth High with some of them. And what's happening now? They're reminding Jesus of his family because he's in his own hometown. And the Bible says, Jesus said in Mark chapter 6 and verse 4, the prophet always has honor, the Greek word tamao, which means value. A prophet always has value, but in his own country, with his own kin, and in his own house. And the Bible says in the next verse, there he could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. And Jesus marveled at their unbelief. And I don't want Jesus to marvel at my unbelief. He could only heal a few sickly folk there. He could do no mighty works, so he went about the village teaching. You know those verses, and we know that he marveled at the unbelief, but what caused the unbelief? Familiarity. Familiarity. They lost their wow. They just relegated Jesus down to his family members. Familiarity. How many know this life point, and the life point really is too? All of a sudden, with acclimation comes a lack of appreciation. And now, all of a sudden, this is where his grace becomes commonplace, where a miracle now has turned into a monument, and what used to turn you on, now you turn on. Anybody in the house been married like my wife and I for decades? Yeah, or for more than how many have been married for more than a year? How many you're married, but you're not going to lift your hand because you don't even like your spouse? Come on. How many you're married in the house? You remember when you were dating and you had that, she had that little laugh, and when she laughed extra hard, she snorted. And remember when you were dating, how cute that was? But now that you've been married for 10 years, you want to strangle her? What used to turn you on, now you turn on. You remember when you first came to Cornerstone Church? Remember how excited you were? Look at the pastor. He's a great teacher. And all of a sudden, I've heard that. I know that. I've heard that story before. And all of a sudden, we can get really, really, really familiar. Listen, this is one thing. One thing that your second favorite pastor, that's me, your first favorite was right there. Your second favorite pastor. Listen, I'm just so thankful I'm not going to hell. I've not lost my wow. So I'm here to help you get this back. 42 years of ministry, my first job at the local church was mowing the lawn. And not for money, for volunteer. I did it so well, I graduated to taking out the garbage. That's a true story. I used to clean the toilets at my home local church. How many know that Lisa got me in the throne room? So everybody wants the big old ministry, but are you willing to clean toilets when nobody's watching? It was an honor to do that. And I remember when they first took me on staff. I was 26 years old. I worked on staff. I got on before that. But all they could do was pay me $5 an hour. $5, that's all they could do. They wanted to do more, but they couldn't. And so they gave me $5. And you'd think, were you grumbling about that? I was just honored to be being in full-time ministry, getting paid $5 an hour. Now, I wasn't married, so all I had to do was barely feed me. Just an honor to do what I do. And at where I was, at the church where I grew up, if anybody needed anything that no one else wanted to do, they called me. I mean, nobody else wanted to. They say, hey, we got somebody in prison that we need visited, and no one else would do it, and so they called me. Now, I had no training. They didn't train me how to do it, what to do, where to go, nothing. They just said there's somebody in jail that needs the Lord, and they have relatives here. Will you go and visit them? I said, yeah, I'll go. And so I remember pulling up to this prison, and I don't mean a jail, I mean a prison, and with no training. I had no training. I didn't even know where to go or what to do, who to ask, anything. Just brave enough to go and do it. And so I went up to the front desk like I knew what I was doing, and they let me in, and the prison had opened, the cells were open because it was overcrowded. And so there was about 200 inmates, and this wasn't a jail, inmates out in the open, not in the cells. And so the guard with a gun comes with me, opens up the big prison door, and I was expecting him to walk with me, opens it up, I walk through, and I heard it shut on the other side of me. And I looked around to the dude with the gun, and I was like, and he was not going in. Now, how many know, I'm telling you right now, I was a little bit nervous. And all I had was the name of the person I was supposed to find. Now, at the time, again, I told you, I used to check IDs at a bar, an alcoholic checking IDs at a bar. I used to be big, mean, and ugly. Now I'm just ugly. Oh, come on, you can see me. It's okay. You can admit that. We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. But right now, you can admit that. And so I remember asking, just yelling out this guy's name. I don't remember what it was. And finally, I found this guy in the corner, and I went over, and I led him to the Lord, and I was so excited about it. And then I remembered, I've got to go back out now. So here I go, walking out, just acting like I knew what I was doing, just looking brave and courageous. They'd ask me, you a lawyer? Nope, preacher. And I got out, safe and sound, but I'm telling you right now, I am so grateful. I have not lost my wow for the ministry. I'm honored to do what I do. I pray that you get rid of familiarity in your life. Listen, if you allow the enemy to get you familiar, he may not have stolen it from you, but in effect he has. We just got back from Florida. We have a plant church down there where we've ordained the pastor and his wife. The church is doing wonderfully. We're very proud of them. And you talk to people, and they're the most beautiful area in the world. Just like your beautiful area. It's a beautiful area in the world. I asked so many people, when's the last time you've been to the ocean? Oh, gosh, it's been a long, long time. How many know when the ocean's in your backyard, sometimes you just forget to swim in it? And when you have it good, and it's so easy to become familiar, and you can lose your wow. Second enemy of wow, we got to eradicate. We have to identify and then eradicate complaining. Complaining. Listen, the Bible says, Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring or complaining. I did a Greek study on that word, all things, and I was amazed to find out that it means all things. Do all things without murmuring or complaining. The life point here is complainers are not obtainers. Complainers are not obtainers. Moaners are loners. Excusers are losers. Pitiful is powerful. And the gripers get the vipers. You want me to say that again? Can't do it. That's a one-time thing. Come on. A long time ago, we have an opportunity to communicate. That's fine. We have an opportunity to vote differently. That's fine. But we do not, as believers, have the opportunity to complain. You have a choice in life. You're going to either be a problem seer or a problem solver. You'll be remembered for the problems that you solve or the problems that you create. How many want to be remembered for the problems that we solve? Any children of Israel can see Goliath. Hey, look, Goliath. It takes a David to solve that problem. No complaining. Come on now. So we're going to eradicate, number one, familiarity. Number two, we're going to eradicate complaining. Complainers are not obtainers. I decided a long time ago, I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to get better. This is not going to be my tombstone. This is going to be my stepping stone. I am not going to let this be a setback. I am going to make this a comeback. I'm not complaining. And I'm preacher than you're better than your amen, and I can tell you that. I promise you, if you'll amen me good, I'll preach shorter. See how that works? That worked good. Pastor Chris, I got him on that one. That's good. The third enemy we got to identify is victim's mentality. When we have a victim's mentality, we'll lose our wow. And, oh, goodness, you guys, this country is full of a victim's mentality. Everybody owes everybody everything. Listen to me a long time. Here's what I decided a long time ago. Nobody owes me nothing. But can I tell you, even though, thank God, we're financially debt-free here at Cornerstone, come on, give God a big thanks. That's an important thing. That's an integrity-oriented thing. That's an important thing. I hate debt. I hate it. Our ministry's been out of debt for a long time, so that way we can give and feed the poor and get folks saved and go to different countries. I thank God for this church. I thank God that we don't owe anything. But every believer is a debtor, and here's what I mean by that, not financially. Romans 1:14, the Bible tells you and I that every one of us are debtors to people that don't know Christ with the gospel. Everybody that I see that doesn't know Christ, I'm a debtor to them. Do you say, Pastor, do you share the gospel with everybody? I don't share the gospel with everybody, but I share the gospel almost everywhere I go. You know why? Because I was that guy waking up in my own vomit, an alcoholic checking IDs at a bar. When I was 18 years old, I had a warrant out for my arrest for beating up somebody so badly that they almost lost their eyesight. I did not know Christ. Please forgive me. I wasn't saved till I was 20. So 4 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord. Your pastor is the only one that got that. I'm the same age as your pastor. I'm actually a few months older than him. But his biceps and triceps, bang! So come on, somebody encourage the pastor now. Come on. Listen, I was that guy. I was a, we didn't even talk about this with your pastor. I was a societal throwaway, folks. I was a societal throwaway. The only person that believed in me, the only person was my mother. She prayed for me, wouldn't give up. If you're a mama here, there's one right there. If you're a mama here, and your kid is not serving God, and you are, don't you give up. I'm living proof. Don't you give up. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. I'm living proof. Now, I'm going to tell you, that was me. That's why I share the gospel with almost everybody. I was in, we were going down to Florida. I was in the gym at the hotel. And I was talking to a fella, and I asked him, and he was a Muslim. And so I was able to talk to him from his own Quran and bring him to the Bible and share the entire gospel with him. He didn't get saved, but boy, he was close. So I owe the gospel to people that don't know the Lord. I refuse to be a victim. I refuse to have a victim's mentality. Come on. Don't you know what the Bible says in Romans 8:37. The Bible says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That word, more than conquerors, is the Greek word hupernikao. Hupernikao means more than a victor. Yeah, I'll explain what that means. Anybody ever spiritual enough to ever see Rocky? Oh, come on, come on. It's not a sin. Come on. That's where I get most of my messages from, Rocky. I'm kidding. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was Rocky II or something. You remember Rocky II when he fought? Who was it? It was Apollo Creed. Remember Apollo Creed? See, when I was a kid, I used to wrestle. I used to box a little bit. I was bad. Now I'm just. How many can see the halo? Real sweet. I used to have a really, really bad temper, but I haven't lost my temper for a long time. But if you don't amen me, I could get it back. Thank you. I got one. And so you remember Apollo Creed? He said, I want you. Remember then they went through that whole 15 rounds, you know, back and forth. Remember that? And I mean, it was real. Cut me, Mick. Remember that? Cut me, Mick. And remember that? Come on, you all looking at me like you've never seen that before. What a holy, I didn't know that it's such a holy church. You know, how many know what I'm talking about? Oh, don't make me work up here and just look at me like. And more than a conqueror. And you know, at the end of the fight, Rocky won that second one. They lifted his hand in victory. And if you know something about professional boxing, you get the money afterwards. And remember, he said, yo, Adrian, remember that? So Rocky did the 15 rounds, and then gives all the money to Adrian. Rocky was a conqueror. Adrian was more than a conqueror. Jesus went the 15 rounds for all of you and then hands you the victory and says that you are more than a conqueror. Come on, I worked a lot for that example right there. Gotta eradicate a victim's mentality. You're either going to be a victim or you're going to be a victor. Your choice. Four things, pretty practical, but it's pretty simple and it's pretty powerful. Fatigue, just simply being tired, can really cause you to lose your wow. Just running on low fuel. You say, well, give me something more spiritual. I'd love to, but what's the first thing that happened when Elijah lost his wow? Put him to sleep. Something that simple. And then here's some food when you wake up. How many know tired eyes never see a bright future? How many of you are one good night's sleep away from a new perspective? How many know the Bible says in Lamentations 3:21-23 that God's mercies are new every morning? Every morning. Every morning. Psalms 92:2, the Bible says you have his faithfulness every night. So you can go to bed to his faithfulness and you can wake up to his new mercies. And I know sometimes I'm on low fuel. The pastors know. I mean, you know, sometimes it's put a nickel in the preacher, wind him up, and let him go. Yeah, I mean, at our church, well, we have multiple services. I preach on Wednesday. I preach multiple services over the weekend. We have a Saturday service. When you people are watching college football, I'm preaching. We have a Saturday service just for the Seventh-day Adventist alone. It's a joke. Only your pastor got that. We have Saturday service, and then we have a Bible Institute. So I teach two classes on Tuesday night. And then there's times where real special churches that we love and we love the pastors, there's times where we'll go and minister on the weekends. But now I must say, because of the multiple services, this is kind of like a vacation. I only have one service. And they put us in a beautiful place, and we see peacocks where we are. There's peacocks. I feel like I'm watching NBC all day. Again, you're the pastors, the only people getting, I'm watching the survey, going, what's wrong with this boy? What a beautiful place. So sometimes I know how we can get tired. But folks, listen to me. Just get you a good night's sleep. You get a little bit, it's amazing how you can regain your wow. And it's imperative. We have to be good stewards of what God has called us to do. And I don't adhere to the Sabbath principle legally in the New Testament, but I do so principally. We make sure that we take a Monday, my wife and I, we take a Monday off. We have a very large church, and so when we date, and by the way, husbands, date your wives. See the response on that? Come, ladies, I at least get an amen from you. Come on. Date your wives. We got to go. We have a large church. We got to go 45 minutes away just to have a date. For real. Because if we don't, it's a counseling session. And this is my first love, not my business partner. She works in the ministry with me. And so please, we take Mondays off. We try real hard not to talk about the ministry. We don't always succeed at that. But we try really hard at that because I want to make sure that I'm fostering my relationship with my wife, because whether you realize it or not, my relationship with her is more important than my relationship with my church. And if this breaks down, well, that'll break down. And we've got it wrong in so many cases. So come on, just fatigue. We got to eradicate fatigue. And then number five, our fifth foe, is disappointment. We've all been disappointed in life. Disappointment. What do you mean disappointment? Well, the life point here, it's pretty simple. Mismatched expectations breed disappointment. What do you mean by that? Well, you ever been to Thanksgiving dinner with your family and you had a certain expectation going into it and you're like, okay, it's going to be this way. And then you got there and all you did was fight about politics or whatever. Just your mismatched expectation, it breeds disappointment. And we've all been let down by people, by circumstances, by life. I understand, how many have figured it out by now? Life is not always fair. How many know God is always fair? If life was fair, then Elvis would be alive and all the personators would be dead. So life is not fair, but God is. And he will always make things fair. Even if you've got to wait to eternity, he will always be just and fair and right and good. And so please understand, we can have mismatched expectations, and it can breed disappointment. That's why I love one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's Proverbs 24 and verse 16, where the Bible says that when the righteous man falls, he gets up seven times. I love that. Victory, listen, victory is just simply getting up one more time than you've fallen. Just get up. Just get up. Get up. If you've fallen, learn something while you're down there, and then get up. Keep answering the bell. This is one thing that I understand. When I was a sinner before I knew Christ, you could maybe beat me in a fight, but you'd have to knock me out or kill me to do it. And so almost nobody would fight me because they knew that, and nobody wants to do that. Well, now, since I got born again, I've taken that over into the realm of the Spirit, and I won't quit for nothing. Now, I might stop doing something because the Lord says stop, but I won't quit. You'll want me in your corner because I won't run. I just get up. If I've fallen, I get up. I won't quit. When I was a sinner before I knew the Lord, remember growing up in high school, you had a rival high school? Well, I used to, because I was a wicked person before I knew the Lord, I used to go to the football games, not to watch the football games, but to fight. So I go to fight. I remember I had five of my friends in my rival high school. There was six of them, and I was a leader, and there was another leader, and we were yelling at each other, and da-da-da, you know how boys do. And finally, I turned around a little bit with my peripheral vision. All my friends were gone. Every one of them. They all ran. Every one of them. But I wouldn't run. If I had to fight all six, I was going to fight all six. Fortunately, they gave me enough honor where I just fought the leader. I whooped his keister, and it was amazing how all five of my buddies came back. How many do not need friends like that? How many know association gives you motivation for your destination? And you need to hang around people that will help you see your objectives and not your obstacles. And so I won't quit. And I love that verse, Proverbs 24 and verse 16. The Bible says, when the righteous man falls, he gets up seven times. Get up. Just keep getting up. If life disappoints, just keep getting up. Don't quit. Anybody in the house know how to have church? Well, here's the thing. If you've fallen down, just remember, get on up to the east side. Remember that. Come on, you just got to get, come on, say, get on up. Oh, you don't know. Let me see if this side knows how to have church. You ready? Get on up. Get on up. All right, now see that right. Thank you. Thank you. You're the only one. You're the only one. Thank you. Thank you. Now, those are our five foes. We've got to eradicate those five. Identify them. Eradicate them because they'll affect our wow. Now, let me give you four friends. This is going to help you now regain it because we've identified it. We're going to eradicate it. Now, we're going to regain it. This is the more important part, and I love this. Number one, we got to regain our gratitude. We've got to regain our gratitude. Now, I know this sounds basic, but oh my goodness, this is important. This is one of my favorite. Got to regain our gratitude. It is not happy people that are thankful. It's thankful people that are happy. Listen, if you're going to regain your gratitude, you've got to let go and you've got to stop thinking, man, I got so far to go. You've got to start thinking about how far you've come. You got to stop thinking about, well, I wish I were here. Well, you're not there, but you are here. You're making progress. You're not where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. Don't focus in on what you don't have. Focus in on what you do have, and it will really help your gratitude. Now, as I mentioned before, I am not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect person by any means. I'm growing in the things of God just like you. But one thing I really got down is gratitude. It's gratitude. And there's so many people that are just not grateful in this culture. One of the signs, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5 of the last days is people that are unthankful. The Greek word acharistos. Acharistos is grace. In front of it is negative, no understanding of grace, and therefore they're not thankful. Let me give you a case in point. My wife and I were walking down the beach a number of years ago, and off in the distance, way off in the distance, was what I thought at the time was a little boy. We're at the ocean, way off in the distance, about 75 yards out, and I thought it was a he. He was drowning. And he's crying out for help. Now, we were way away from everybody. And when I was a kid, I used to be a lifeguard. How many of you saw me on Baywatch? You remember me? Does this help? All right, never mind. I was a lifeguard when I was a kid. And you know, it was decades ago when I was a lifeguard. Decades. And so at that time. And so here's this person drowning, and I'm the only game in town. And so I got to swim way out there, and then as I swim out there, I notice it's not a little boy. Just look that way from the distance. And I'm not trying to be mean, just factual. It was about a 300-plus-pound woman. And they'll tell you the first thing in lifeguarding, they say you've got to calm down the person, because if you don't, they'll jump on you the moment you get out there because they're panicking, and then you got a double drowning on your hand. So I'm swimming out there, and I'm trying to remember all this training I'd had. And so I'm talking to her. I said, ma'am, now I'm here to help. I was a lifeguard. I said, you ever see me on Baywatch? She's like, oh, yeah. That calmed her down. Okay. And so I was calming her down. And so if you know anything about that, you have to turn them on their back, and then your arm is behind their chin, and then you have to swim with one arm and kick like that, and she was way out there, and I'm fighting the current because it's ocean. And I'm telling you, I got her in. I was tired because I was old by that time. I was tired when I got her in. And look at me. That woman did not even say thank you. Wow. True story. Did not, I think she was embarrassed, whatever. She did not even say thank you. So I grabbed her by the arm, swam her back out. You didn't see that coming, did you? You didn't see that coming. Everybody say, wow. Of course, I'm kidding about that last part. She didn't. I'm not kidding at all. She did not say thank you. Now, I just taught me something. People are just not grateful. And if you're going to regain your wow, everybody say wow, you're going to have to regain your gratitude. And it's going to have to even be for the smallest thing. Don't you, you remember in Luke chapter 10, 17 through 20, you remember Jesus sent out the 12, sent out the 70. And in verse 17, he said, behold, he said, I give you authority to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And he said, and they came back and they were rejoicing. 17, they came back and they were rejoicing. The devils are subject unto me. And verse 18, he said, behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And he said, but listen, don't rejoice about that. But verse 20, rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. If there is nothing that we rejoice about that our name, I'm going to heaven, my name is in the Lamb's book of life. Now, at this church, this is a well-taught church with a wonderful pastor, so you know about understanding that you're righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, so we'd be made the righteousness of God in Christ, right? You know that. That's very important. But listen to me very closely. If you don't understand your former wretchedness, you will never appreciate your present righteousness. In other words, you thank God, you know who you are, you're a new creation in Christ, you're righteous in Christ, no question about it, but don't go back and rehearse your sin, but never forget that you've been forgiven. Because Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, he said, please make sure that you don't forget that you have been forgiven, or you will be blind and not see afar off. And I have a revelation of something. It's because I was such an evil person before I met Christ, and because of what he made me, I am one of the most grateful people that you're ever going to meet, and it's hard for me to talk about it without ruining my mascara. Because of what the Lord did for me, and I know I tease and I we have fun, and that's just how God wired me, but oh my goodness, I know what I was. And I know what he made me. And I know we can do the same for you. 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that grace has been bestowed upon me will not be in vain. For I labor more abundantly than they, yet not I. But it is the grace of God that's with me. I am and you are what we are because of the grace of God. And see, here's the thing. You say, well, okay, I get that you understand how wretched you were, Pastor. But I got saved when I was 5. I grew up in the church. I've got a great testimony for you. That's my wife. My wife got saved when she was 5. So there's times where, because of my life, so she's a completely different. She grew up in the church. She got saved when she was 5. And only God can take a goody two-shoe and a baddie two-shoe and save all 4 of our souls. Only God could bring us together. I mean, when I talk about certain things in my past, she doesn't even know what I'm talking about. Because she just was not involved in any of that stuff. Now, I'd rather have her testimony than mine. But and if you, either one of your testimony, I get it. But see, sometimes you people that grew up in church and got saved when you were 5 and never knew all the junk that I did, you don't have the gratitude. And here's why you don't. Because you don't yet have a revelation of how righteous and holy God is. 1 John 1:5, the Bible says, in him there's no darkness at all. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says he lives, watch this, in unapproachable light. See, what we're doing is we have a horizontal comparison. We compare ourselves with one another. Well, you know, in compare, I'm a lot better than that dude. I'm not as bad as that guy. And we have that. But when we have a vertical comparison before Christ, even if you got saved when you were 5, we are so wretched in the sight of God, Isaiah 64 and verse 6, before Christ, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And I have that revelation. That's why you understand Moses, he had to hide. He said, I want to see. In Exodus 33, I want to see, can't do it. I'm gonna put a veil over you. I'm gonna hide you behind a rock. I'm gonna hide you behind the cliff. You can see my hinder parts. And what did he say? You can only, that's my goodness passing by. God is so good. It's like having me and your pastor and Doug, we were having a jumping to Jupiter contest, right? All of us are going to jump to Jupiter. Well, you know, I don't know how tall Pastor is. I'm 6'2". Doug, you're 6'1". So we got Pastor, you got Doug, you got myself, and we all jump at the same time. And maybe because I'm 6'2", I get a little higher to Jupiter by a couple of inches. But I'm a million, even if we had LeBron over here, I'm still a million miles away from Jupiter. And I don't care if you got saved when you're 5 or you're an alcoholic checking IDs at a bar, we're all jumping to Jupiter, and that's how far short that all of our us without Christ. And that all of a sudden now Christ comes in with mercy, elenos in the Greek language. We deserve hell, but we get heaven. So all of that distance between Jupiter, God makes up in Christ. And then when you get that revelation, even if you're saved at 5, it's like, wow. You get your wow back really quick. Wow. Wow. Is this helping anybody? Man, that's just powerful to me. Everybody say wow. So please, everybody, this is just such a revelation. You ever drive by a green grassy field and see sheep out there, and their wool looks so white, looks wonderful. Then you put them in the barn, and overnight a pristine snow falls. Take those sheep back out, now their wool looks really dirty. Pristine snow is God. And if you're saved at 5 or saved at 20 as an alcoholic checking IDs at a bar, that's all our wool. And that's why all of us need the blood of Jesus Christ. So number one, our friend of wow. Everybody say wow. Come on, say it backwards. Say it upside down. We've got to get our gratitude back. Number two, forget your sin. I mentioned a little bit ago, but don't forget that you've been forgiven. Don't forget that you've been forgiven. The Bible says in Luke 7:47, and this is my favorite verse in the Bible, to whom much is forgiven, there is much love. The reason that you don't, right now you're here today and you don't have a tremendous amount of love for the Lord, your relationship is honestly a little bit cold, and I'm not throwing rocks at you at all, I'm not condemning you at all, I'm just telling you why. It's because you don't have a revelation of how much you've been forgiven of. And the moment that you get that, all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, I'm so grateful. You know, the word forgive, and there's two Greek words for the word forgive. The one is aphiemi. Aphiemi means to pardon or release a debt. And remember what Jesus said in John 19:30 on the cross? It is finished. It's a Greek word, one Greek word, tetelestai. Tetelestai means the debt has been canceled. That's what it means. So when Jesus hung there on the cross, he canceled our sin debt. And when I understand that and have a revelation of that, I don't go back and rehearse my sin. The Bible tells us, Hebrews 8:12, God remembers our sin no more, but I never forget that I've been forgiven. Aren't you glad? I just so thankful. I watch a lot of people as a pastor. I've been doing this a long time. And I watch, I know my Pastor Chris has seen this. I watch people walk away from God because they get disappointed. They get offended. Maybe something doesn't happen. That someone dies and they didn't get healed or whatever, and they're believing God and they walk away from God. I know theologically why all that happens, but I got to tell you, I so struggle with that. I would never walk away with God, no matter what happens, because I know how much I have been forgiven of, and everything on top of that is a bonus to me. And don't mistake me, I believe that God fulfills his word. I believe God is faithful. Of course, we all believe that. But I'm just telling you, why walk away from God? You're walking away because of something that you don't know. Don't walk away from something you don't know. Stay with what you do know. So good. And you do know you've been forgiven of sins. You do know that God is faithful. I many times I've been disappointed, but I never blame God. I always think, okay, what do I need to fix? What I need to get in the Bible. What I need to. I need something I don't know. What don't I know, God? I never blame him. He's your solution, people, not your problem. And if you run from God and you finally get to heaven and you go to him with your questions, he's going to answer it just like that. And you're going to wish that you didn't spend 10 years away from God here on this earth because of something stupid that he answered just like that. Think about the children of Israel. Here Moses does not make Canaan land, right? And if you're 2 to 3 million people, you're going, well, how? Why not? I mean, he had to put up with all of us. But they didn't see the anger problem that Moses had behind the scenes that cost him Canaan. And so many times we don't see what's going on behind the scenes that God does. Don't let go of what you don't know. Stay true to what you do know. Third thing, our third friend, and this is so important, having a childlike faith. Let's regain that childlike faith. Matthew 18, 2 through 4, you know, the Bible literally takes, Jesus tells us we ought to have faith like a child. You know how kids are. I mean, kids don't get bothered. They get bothered, but then all of a sudden, oh, you show them a puppy. Oh, look, a puppy. And their attention is different. We got to regain. Now, listen, here's the nugget. Here's the light point. Childlike, not childish. There's a big difference. Call me, understand what I'm talking about. There's a big difference between childlike and childish. I want to be childlike. I want to just have that. I with my wife, I just try to have fun. We have one child. I'm pushing 65. My son just got married, so we're now empty nesters. But we don't call ourselves empty nesters. We call ourselves fun nests. We're the fun nest couple. We didn't miss a beat, man. When my kid left, all I wanted to do was have him come back so we'd mow the lawn. I've been bribing them as we talked about. We have fun at our house. We have fun at our house. We have a balcony at our home, and so my wife sometimes she likes to watch Hallmark. I think Hallmark will be in hell 24/7, showing 24/7, and that's what makes it hell. How many men know what I'm talking about? Oh, God. So she watching Hallmark. I'm like, I can't do that. And so what I'll do is I'll go up to on the balcony. I'll wet pieces of toilet paper, and I'll bomb her from the balcony. For real. And she'll be annoyed at first. She'll look at me like, and then she'll start laughing. And that's my goal. I love to make my wife laugh because I look like I do. She looks like she do. You got to do something to keep your wife when. So I got to make her laugh. That's my strength. We decided a long time ago we're going to have fun because Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Now, I am one of the most disciplined and responsible pastors you're ever going to meet. I don't mean childish, but I do mean childlike. Listen, you're not all that, and I'm not all that. You got to learn how to get over yourself and laugh a little bit at yourself. I'm not all that. You're not all that. You know that. Quit strutting around like, yeah, man. Just smile a little bit. You're not all that. Get over yourself. That's one of the best things that I train a lot of pastors. And one of the best things that I tell pastors, because some of them get nervous, I said, the reason you're nervous is because you're not over yourself. Because the moment you get over yourself, see, when I come here, the reason I'm not nervous is because I don't care about what you think about me. I care about serving you. I care about this gentleman right here who's taking notes on his iPad. I care about him. I don't care about what he thinks about me. I care about him and helping him because I'm over myself. I appreciate pastor because we're here at Cornerstone. We're not about pastor worship. We're about Jesus worship. Just get over yourself. Jesus told us very clearly in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. He says, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Mark 10, 43 through 45, the greatest among you is the greatest servant. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 31, I die daily. What does that mean? In other words, if you want to be first, you got to be last. If you want to be great, you got to serve. If you want to live, you got to die. When Paul said, I die daily, I use that verse because I dye my hair. I just changed it to I die monthly. That's my Come on, somebody. Is this helping anybody? Me and Pastor like this. Okay, so we're going to have that childlike faith. I think that's just so important. I'll move on. I got to mind my time. Let's look at number four. Look at number four. Do the first works. Now you know this. Do the first works. Do the first works. Revelation 2, 1 through 5, you know this. He's talking to Ephesus. They're a good church. And you know what happened. He's commending them. He said, look, you've held fast to the doctrine. You've labored hard, worked hard. He said, you've kept the evil out. You found those that call themselves apostles liars. It's the Greek word YouTubus. YouTube, it's a joke. There's a lot of people online that aren't what they say they are. Now let's try over here where they'll get. So they all of that, you know, everybody today is a prophet, everybody's an apostle, everybody online. And listen to me, please don't make your pastor and his wife fight against people online. What I mean by that is this: they deserve your first nod. In other words, well, yeah, but this guy has 500,000 followers. So that, listen, just because they have 500 doesn't make them legit. You understand that? It's fine to watch online. It's fine. I'm not saying just one person. But don't make him fight. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Not the guy that you don't even know on YouTube. This is the guy and his team that are counseling you. They're marrying you. They're burying you. They're helping you. They're loving on you. Not the guy on YouTube. Don't make him fight with that. Please, do the first work. So they tried the apostles, and they found them liars. And you know, they say, you've left. It didn't say you've lost. You've left your first love. He says, remember, verse 5, from whence thou art fallen. He says, repent, and now do the first works. So that's pretty simple. That's remember, repent, and redo. Remember. Where was I? Where did I last have my wow? Repent. Don't be scared by that word. It's the Greek word metanoia. Meta, change, noia, mind. Change your mind. I was going this way. I'm now going that way. I'm going to change my mind. I lost my wow. I'm going to regain my wow and now redo. Now all of a sudden ministry is no longer a have-to ministry to get to. To get to. You've regained your wow. That's so important. And then it's just the most amazing thing. When you've regained your wow, it's amazing what will happen. It's amazing how life becomes different. Listen to me very closely. Love rarely dies of old age. It dies of ruts, routine, neglect, hurt, or offense. Love rarely dies of old age. It dies of ruts, routine, neglect, hurt, or offense. Get your wow back concerning your spouse. I still got my wow for my spouse. We work at it. We have issues just like you do. We've got to walk through things just like you do. I always tell people, my wife and I, we're a rare, rare, rare couple, and here's why. Because we have never, and I mean on the way to church, we have never argued. Do you know why? We take separate cars. You should see how they're all like, you're so holy, Pastor. No, I'm not that holy. I'm just smart. We take separate cars. She's got to be there early. I don't have to be there. So we take separate cars. So we've never argued on the way to church. But it's so easy to do that, isn't it? Don't lift your hand. How many are you? No, no, we don't want to know. Get your wow back concerning your spouse. You remember when you were dating? For some of you, there's a long, long time ago. Get you how to do that? Well, you're going to have to focus on their strengths. Do you know that they tell us adultery occurs because people leave their spouse for 20% that their spouse doesn't have? They like 80%, but they don't like 20. You do realize, don't you, that everybody has a 20? And some 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. Just mow the grass on your side of the fence. Get your wow back. Get your wow back concerning your children. Come on. You remember, now you remember, listen, I know my son's gone now. He's married. And you all know that. When they're little, their little handprints are this high on the window. And then when they get in junior high, here they go. When they're senior high, they're up here, and then the handprints are everywhere. But eventually those handprints are gone. Mine are. Got to make sure you don't take your kid for granted. You know what I did to make sure I didn't? Because I heard so many pastors, they win everybody to the Lord and their kids go to hell. I didn't want that to happen. So when my son was born, I got a whole protein jug, poured out the protein, and I counted up how many weekends it would be till he goes to college. And I put rocks in that jug, that same amount of weekends. And every Saturday, I would go in that jug, and I'd take out a rock, and I'd talk to God. God, please don't let me take this for granted. They grow up fast. Please help me to be a good dad in Jesus' name. Every Saturday. Didn't miss a Saturday. If I was going out of town, I'd take two out, whatever. Didn't miss. It's a tangible reminder as those rocks got lower and lower and lower. And I remember with tears coming out of my eyes, pulling out the last one. But I can tell you that I did not neglect my son, not for the altars of ministry or anything else. And now he's a man of God, married to a woman of God. I got my wife crying down there. The most beautiful relationship you ever want to see. He owns his own business at 23 and has really strong Christian convictions. He's not a wild PK, not a crazy person like I was. Come on, get your wild back concerning your church. Come on, we need a wild back concerning Cornerstone. Well, I've been here for 20-something years. Well, we know. We can tell by that attitude. You've been here for 20-something years. Come on. Listen, one of the devil's biggest tricks, Pastor knows this, started in the Garden of Eden. Here's all these beautiful trees that you can have. Here's the one you can't. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do to help you focus in here at Cornerstone on the one tree you can't have. We didn't say Cornerstone was perfect. We didn't say the pastor and his wife were perfect. And if Cornerstone was perfect and you came, you just ruin it. Well, come on now. I get such a kick out of this pastor. People all the time saying, well, I don't go to church because of the hypocrites. I always ask them, do you go to work? Are the hypocrites there? Yeah, there's some. Well, then you just told me that you go somewhere where the hypocrites for money. So now who's the hypocrite? When do we start, you ever hear anybody but Beethoven playing like the Fifth Symphony, you know, like some junior high band they're playing, you know, da 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 da, you know, whatever. We don't ever blame Beethoven when the Fifth Symphony is played poorly. Why are we doing that for Jesus? Yes, there's hypocrites at the church. There's hypocrites everywhere. But we're not holding out to you, Christians, we're holding out to you, Christ. Plus, Beethoven is right now in the grave decomposing. You got it? Anybody else? Anybody? Anybody? Right there, he got it. 3, 4. Done. I'll stop there. Come on now. Let's get our wild back for concerning Cornerstone. And I mean that. Now, and I'll tell you why. It's not for him. It's not for her. It's for you. It's for you. There, he could do no mighty work. And you don't want that to be here. I found people that first get saved and don't have all this stuff, they get healed way quicker than some of the people been around for 22 years. Because they're not familiar. Come on, somebody. Let's get our wild back. What do you say we get our wild back for Jesus? Come on, that's the most important. That's about what. And what do you say we get our wild back for sharing him everywhere we go? I was fishing for shark the other day. I led a young gentleman, 16-year-old young man, to Christ, fishing for shark. Was at a restaurant, the same place, led a waitress, her name is Shira, to the Lord. We're at another restaurant the other day, in our home city, I led Lauren to the Lord. Lauren is now coming to our church. She just got water baptized. Her kid got saved. I can tell you, I just have a heart for people that don't know Christ because of what I went through all those years ago. Let's get our wow back. Come on, let's get our wow back. We have a real ministry to the police at our church. We every December we take the whole police force, all the employees. We bring them in for Christmas, feed them. We give them all a really nice gift card, like a $50 gift card, and they're just blown away because, you know, there's tons of them. I was telling your pastor, the things I won't do to get out of a ticket. Come on, smile, somebody. Smile. So we always have this ministry to our police, and before we do, I tell our church, I say, now, church, this week I'm giving everybody permission to speed. Now, I'm just kidding. But I'm kidding. They know I'm kidding. I say, I'll give everybody permission to speed. And I say, when you get pulled over, then I want you to invite that policeman to the church for our thing. And they know I'm kidding, because I play around a lot with them. So here's this woman. That week, she's speeding, not because her pastor told her to, but just because she was speeding. She gets pulled over. And she remembers what I said in joke form. And she goes, well, I'm pulled over anyway. Might as well tell her about it. Invites the policeman to the church. He comes, gets saved. He's been coming ever since. And he is now our paid policeman that protects the church. And he's a disciple of Jesus Christ because we haven't lost our wow. Come on, say it backwards. Wow. Say it upside down. Come on, everybody. Let's get our wow back. Would you bow your head with me, please? Would you close your eyes for just a moment?